All right. Fair warning on this episode. We've had a few struggles lately with some of our recordings. The device we use sometimes just shuts off randomly if we aren't careful, and it erases anything we've done. So if you've noticed some discrepancies in our last route, that's because some of that was re-recorded later and added in. It's also why we didn't get the crystal Pokemon names in there, because I forgot to re-record that part. Because one of the times we re-recorded, then there was a user error of forgetting to hit the record button after going through the crystal Pokedex. So that's why that sounds a little funky. But in light of all that, we also tried something new a couple times. So one of the episodes, there might be a defect that you hear throughout the track. And that's from us just running on battery power, so we wouldn't have the sudden shutoff. For some reason, that picked up some weird noise. And then there's the movie episode that you're about to listen to. And we decided to try using a mixer. And so we had everything plugged into it. I did a test recording and listened to it back to make sure that it was all working. And it was sounded perfect, I think. At least as far as I could tell. It's a new process for me. But then we weren't getting audio through all of our headphones at the time. So I was trying to figure that out. And in the process of figuring that out, I unplugged and plugged in something in the wrong spot. So none of the other mics were picking up except for mine and the backup. So that is why the audio is going to not be the greatest this episode. I do apologize. I did the best I could to clean it up. But that is going to be our coverage for the movie, because it's trying to re-record that is just not feasible at this point. So I hope you can bear with us and hopefully enjoy our commentary on Pokemon 3. And then you can enjoy the story at the end, because that one should be okay. So yeah, with all that said, here's the episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. We are a podcast of a family going through the Pokemon series of video games and manga and anime. I'm Ruby.
I'm Shaylock.
And with us today are
Rosella.
Bye-bye.
And this week we are covering Pikachu Short, Pikachu and Pichu, and then just, you know, the movie.
The first one?
Sure, the first one. The third Pokemon movie.
All right.
But before we get into that, let's cover where we're at in our own lives. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten around to watching any more Pokemon Horizons yet, or playing more Scarlet and Violet. We hope we've been very busy, but we hope to watch them soonish again.
Hopefully. I also forgot to mention last week for my updates that I also finally finished the Celebi special research quest, so I have my shiny Celebi. That was super exciting.
And we've got more Master Ball research. Did we say that last
week? I don't know if we did, but we definitely are started up on the next Master Ball research. And since last time, I also, this one was took me much longer than Zacian, but got my shiny Zamazenta.
Ooh, isn't it pink?
It is pink.
Ooh.
The thing about the shiny versions of Zacian and Zamazenta is that they're mostly just like one color instead of like a bunch of colors like they usually are. I mean, there's different shades of pink and different shades of blue, I think, for Zacian is what it is, but like they're almost all just the one color.
True.
I mean, it's cool, but it's weird.
Wait, what color is the shiny Celebi again?
Celebi? Pink, like Mew.
Well, we haven't gotten back to Sword and Shield in a while.
That's true.
I think that's all the topics.
Okay, cool. Want to start us off then?
Oh, you don't have any in Japanese.
I didn't see it in Japanese, but also Pichu and Pikachu, at least Pikachu, is Japanese.
Yep.
So this is probably just Pikachu to Pichu.
And now on to the Pikachu short, Pikachu and Pichu.
Alright, so, what do we start off here? We got the gang riding up on an elevator, but of course we don't see the faces of those humans again. But Pikachu's riding along beside, and he notices a couple of Pichu running around the ledges of some of the high, like, skyscrapers.
And as soon as we started this short, I was like, oh man, I've seen parts of this short before.
I had not. This was
I've
all
seen
new.
The short, the movie, it's all... I can't wait to get to more movies that I haven't seen.
But then the gang bring out all the rest of their Pokemon once they're on the roof park. Like, there's a park up there. And they tell the Pokemon all to hang out and do whatever they want. Except get in trouble. Brock tries to stay behind too, but Misty pushes him out. And all the Pokemon are hanging out, but then Pikachu is up.
Babysitting Brock?
I was wondering, actually.
Refresh my memory. What did he look like exactly?
He was, like, digging his feet in, I think, and she was pushing him. So, like, from behind pushing, I believe is what it looked like.
Yeah, that's Babysitting Brock.
Alright, we'll have to include that then. So we get Babysitting Brock there then. And all the Pokemon are hanging out, but then Pikachu is up on top of a tree and sees Pichu, two of them, across on a different building. Or maybe he didn't see two of them right away. He definitely sees a Pichu over there at first. There's eventually two.
They're usually in pairs, so we think he would see both.
Well, I think the one was just by itself at first, so the other one was catching up or something, because this one was making faces at Pikachu.
Weren't they making faces at each other when Pikachu was in the elevator?
They were making faces at Pikachu? Pikachu. I don't think so. I think he was concerned or, like, excited, but they just kind of ran by.
I thought they stopped him.
Maybe. Definitely up there, the one was making faces at Pikachu, though. And I think he even smacks his butt at one point.
Yeah, probably.
So then the Pichu goes out on a ledge, and his brother or whatever tries to stop him. Pikachu is on a flagpole to see what's going on, but then he's attacked by a flock of Murkrow, which is our first sighting of Murkrow in the anime, I think.
So he's being murdered by murder.
Yes.
Murder by murder.
Well, a group of crows is called a murder, which is why Murkrow is called Murkrow, because it's like murder and crow mixed together. We already met Murkrow in the manga early on for Gold and Silver, but now we got it in the anime.
Exciting.
So Pikachu falls, but then he grabs a rope for the flag. The Murkrow beck at it until it becomes untied. And then we see Meowth is cleaning windows to make money for Team Rocket.
Yep, typical Team Rocket trying to earn money for another busted bot.
Yeah, more savings that they spend on everything. Yeah. Hoppip then, like a bunch of Hoppip show up and get in Murkrow's face. And so Murkrow drops the rope and it sends Pikachu flying. But then he races across the flying Hoppip, like bouncing from one to the other, and lands.
Funny.
Yeah, and lands on the window washer cart that Meowth is on, which sends him flying off into a billboard. But also, when all the Hoppip showed up, Ruby had a funny comment.
Oh, I don't remember exactly what I said.
You basically said something about there must be a really bad storm coming in because this is really high on the Hoppip scale.
Yeah. It was a really high Hoppip scale, because there was, like, I don't know, 15 of them. I'm like, it's a 15 on the Hoppip scale.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. So then, Pikachu yells for all the other Pokemon to help him, because he's all the way across on this other building now, but of course they don't hear him. So he follows the Pichu, as they seem to know what to do, but instead they all end up on top of a bus that drives away, carrying Pikachu further away from the building. The Pichu are having a ball. They're just goofing off and enjoying life. Mm-hmm. The Pikachu and Pichu fall off the bus and into the water where there are Chinchou swimming around, which I think is our first sighting of Chinchou in the anime. And there's a Gyarados in this, like, little river too, which is crazy.
Gyarados. Where's
Chinchou? They're the little blue Pokemon with some yellow on them, and they have, like, a little light. And they turn into, like, the lantern, which is, like, the fish with the lantern light in front of it.
Oh, where it lives, like, deep in the dark area.
Well, yeah, it's based off of that thing, yeah. I think they're electric Pokemon, too, like water electric.
Yeah, I think so.
So the Gyarados ends up sending Pikachu and Pichu flying and landing on top of a Houndour in an alleyway.
Houndour was not happy.
Yeah, he was very mad, and he gives chase. And we've met Houndour once before. There was a group of them in one anime.
Yeah, one of the anime, but, like, when you say we've met him once before, we met him in the anime, and then in the game, and in the manga.
But we have not met Houndour in the game.
We haven't.
I don't think we've met any dark Pokemon in the game.
I forgot, my bad.
What game?
Gold and Silver and Crystal.
I just know we've met him a lot.
We have the Bite move, which is a dark move in Gold and Silver, but I don't think we've met any dark Pokemon yet. Alright, so, Houndour's chasing them down, and funny things happen to Houndour as they flee, and then the Pichu work together to shock Houndour, but it seems like it also shocks the Pichu, because they can't shock without hurting themselves.
which I thought was interesting, and I'm curious if that's how, like, if that's, like, a thing in the game or anything, too.
Did you just find that out in this thing? Did you know before? I think you're the one who told me.
I've heard it a lot.
Maybe I read it on the card once. I don't know.
In the beach, you can't shock people without shocking themselves. I know that's an attack in Super Smash Bros. And they get, like, hurt a lot.
Interesting. Eventually, Pikachu, while carrying the two Pichu, runs away and uses a Snorlax to bounce away.
How this was funny, because he bounced off. Sorry.
No, go ahead!
He bounced off the building onto the Snorlax and then, like, bounced off the stomach and
got. I think it was a fence, but yeah.
Yeah, that would make more sense. And then went on to the second fence or building or whatever it was. And so Hounder was like, I'll do that too. And so he jumps down, and while he's, like, falling, the Snorlax churns onto his side, and so he lands on the ground. I'm like, oh, the Houndour gets hurt. And then the Snorlax falls back on top of Houndour.
He rolls back, yeah.
Yeah, it was even worse. Smush. I was like, that's even worse than what just happened.
And it turns out Pikachu and the Pichu end up in a crazy junkyard park kind of thing for Pokemon that has a ton of different Pokemon. And I there were so many that showed up. I was trying to list them, but some of the ones we hadn't met yet are like Smeargle. In the anime at least, that we hadn't met yet. A Smeargle, Shuckle, Cleffa, Igglybuff, Hipmontop. Those are all new ones.
And there was another one, like the Magmar, but like not the Magmar.
Oh, the little baby Magmar, yeah. Magby, I think is what it's called.
He stood out to me, so I just felt like I should.
And there were some other Pokemon too, like Sunflora and Hoppip, Hoothoot, Diglett, Wooper, and best of all,
Bellsprout!
Ruby's warmed up to Bellsprout. She has a new number one enemy.
I love Bellsprout.
Spearow's the worst.
Wait, who?
Spearow.
I have no idea who Spearow is.
You don't know Spearow? Is it the first episode?
Oh, the evolution of the bird that attacked.
No, Spearow is not the evolution. Fearow is the evolution.
Wait.
Spearow's the little guy. And a whole flock of them chased Ash and Pikachu after Ash put a bump on one of their heads.
Wait, why is that Ruby's number one enemy?
I hate Spearow.
Because
it works.
Because she was trying to find a Heracross in a tree and she kept running into Spearow.
Heracross is lucky that I loved him so much because otherwise I would have hated Heracross. Because he was the one avoiding me. But since I love Heracross, it's Spearow.
Anyway, all the Pokemon are having a grand old time, but then the clock chimes and most of the Pokemon leave, and Pikachu realizes he needs to get back. But before he can, Houndour shows back up.
Bum, bum, bum.
As Houndour chases them, the giant junkyard fort is damaged and is going to collapse. Pikachu and Pichu try to stop it from collapsing, and eventually so does Houndour, and the other Pokemon come back to help too. They all save the fort, and then it is time for Pikachu to get back. Pikachu races on, and then the Pichu work together to run inside a tire like a hamster ball, and they pick up Pikachu on the way to help him out. Meowth is lamenting his situation, and he wants a boost, is what he says, right as the tire comes by and hits him right back to his window washer thing.
You're welcome, Meowth.
Pikachu makes it back in time, and he and Pichu say goodbye. Ash and them show up, and they say they are so sorry to keep them waiting, but they have a surprise and invite the Pokemon inside, where a party is all set up because it was on this day Ash and Pikachu first met.
So he should at least be 11.
Yeah, this makes this some kind of anniversary, which means that Ash has to at least be 11 years old now. The only thing that would, like, excuse this to make it so he's not 11, granted we've already had, like, two winters, so it seems a little suspect anyway, but the only thing that could, like, maybe you could say is that, like, this is a month anniversary, so it was, like, a different month, and they were just celebrating the same day of that month that he met.
No, I think they made it clear that it was a year, and, like, I met Pikachu a year ago.
I don't think he said that, actually. He just said on this day. So, you could argue that. However,
if you're an idiot, you could argue that, yes, sure.
However, there is enough that has gone on in the anime, and I'm sure there's enough points where you could count their sleeps and stuff that would make it make zero sense. If you were really paying attention. Anyway, it was a cute little adventure, and that's pretty much the end of it. So now,
It's time for the movie! Alright, now we're on Pokemon 3, the movie, Spell of the Unknown.
Wait, that's what it's called?
It's actually called Pokemon 3, the movie, Spell of the Unknown, Entei. So, yes, it's got a lot of, like, titles to it.
How about you read the rest, Daddy?
Daddy.
We don't have it written out in regular English letters, so I couldn't pronounce it for you, because I don't know all the kanji and stuff. However, it's supposed to read out as Pocket Monsters the Movie, Lord of the Unknown, Tower Entei. Alright, here we go. Our third movie. We've already had Mewtwo Strikes Back and Evolution, so it's kind of like the fourth movie, I guess. And we've had Pokemon 2000, and now we're on Pokemon 3. So, we open up on a beautiful castle-like mansion on a hill by some quaint town filled with sunflowers and a windmill. It's night, and the music has got a sort of haunting fairy tale sound to it that I enjoyed. Like, I really like the music in this scene.
Yeah.
There's a dad sitting on a bed with his daughter, talking about legendary Pokemon, and they're like flipping.
Perfect for a father-daughter pack.
Yes, perfect. And I think they have a book that they're looking through with the legendary stuff, like artistic representations of legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, they're looking through a book, and Entei's the main one that she points out in the book.
And he mentions that some people believe they exist even though they've never seen them. Because, like I said, like we just said, they're artistic interpretations of people who haven't even seen what they look like. The girl flips a page and asks if that is the one her father is looking for. He says it is, and he's been looking for it ever since. But then he trails off. It doesn't finish that sentence. Instead, he switches to, for a long time now. I only noticed this little trail off the second time I was watching it, because I watched it once and then I had to watch it again to make sure I got my notes straight.
Wait, I never noticed the trail.
Yeah, I didn't notice either.
I didn't the first time.
Yeah, we only watched it again. Well, I've watched it multiple times.
And I figured that this is probably a likely hint to someone's fate that we didn't know about, which I think Rosella is kind of keying in on as well. Oh, anyway, this picture that they were pointing at in the book shows a person in, like, a robe, almost looking like kind of like a wizard or something. And he's looking up at a swarm of unknown, the Pokemon. And they're all positioned in sort of an arcane formation, kind of like you might see with, like, magic and wizards and stuff, almost like a pentagram look or something. You know what I'm talking about? Like, how some, a lot of times with wizardy stuff, you see, like, the star with the circle around it.
Yep. Yeah.
So it kind of looks something similar to that, like some kind of design that's meant to be, like, magical.
It's a Pokemon World version.
Correct. So then they flip the page, and we see an Entei, and the girl apparently loves Entei because he looks big and strong, just like her dad. So then the dad puts the girl on his back and runs around and pretends to be Entei.
And then we see, like, her little Ponita rocking horse.
Oh, she had a Ponita rocking horse, didn't she?
Yeah, because it was, like, a rocking horse like we have nowadays, but, like,
Ponita. Yeah.
The thing I remember most is the little kitty slide that was a Don fan.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Don fan? Yeah, it was Don fan.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So then the computer chirps up, and it shows an image of a Pidgey delivering an envelope, because it's an email, and it turns out to be a video message from some guy named Skylar, who found a chamber with new clues for their research. So the father needs to leave, and he says he'll be back as soon as he can, and as he tucks in Molly, he tells her to keep him close in her dreams while he's gone. This all just automatically spells disaster. Like, you hear all this, you're like, something bad's gonna happen.
I don't remember if those were my thoughts when originally watching it, but, yeah.
So then he leaves, and we see a picture of the dad, Molly, and supposedly Molly's mom. But then there's also another picture that shows Delia, Ash's mom, Professor Oak, this same dad, and Molly on his shoulder, the possible mother again, and a young Ash. So then we jump to the chamber that the dad is going off to meet Skylar in, and they see markings about the unknown all over the walls, and the father starts taking pictures. There's also what looks like a Scrabble tile on the floor, and when the father picks it up, an unknown appears, because it has, like, an unknown letter on it.
What's a Scrabble tile? Like,
Scrabble tile is the tiles with the letters on them for Scrabble.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, I see.
And this looks just like it, except with unknown letters, so even more like a Scrabble tile, but just a Pokemon version. So he picks that up, and then an unknown kind of pops into existence right next to him, but then it vanishes. And then the dad finds a chest full of the tiles, and when he picks them up, they glow. Unknown appear and circle around him, and then he's sucked right out of existence. and he tumbles around in some strange dimension surrounded by unknown.
Then we feel so bad for the little girl.
Well, especially since we go back to the house and Molly is running for her dad, having seen the car arrive, but Skylar is there talking to, I think, a butler or something. And the box of tiles is there, and then she is left all alone as it becomes clear that her dad is not coming home. And she's going through her dad's research and accidentally spills the chest of tiles over. So she starts spelling out Mama and Papa with the tiles and crying because she has lost both her parents now.
I think she spelled Molly too, didn't she?
She might have. I don't know. She was just spelling names. I don't. Well, names, Mama, Papa. You know what I mean.
She's like, I can spell our names with these tiles.
Yep.
Because, yeah, Papa with the A for Mama. And then Mama has M for Molly because she connected them all.
Oh, you're probably right. And then the tiles glow and the unknown fly up out of the chamber and portal their way to Molly, sucking up the tiles.
And they sound like little kids laughing or something.
Did they? I don't remember that.
Well, something like that.
And then the whole room starts to crystallize. Skylar and the servants try to get in, but they are pushed back out and the room is sealed up with some more crystal. Molly remembers her dad being Entei and pleads for him to come back. Crystal stuff spreads and the Entei appears and speaks to Molly. I am Entei. And Molly knows that it is her papa, quote unquote, on the know. If that is what you wish, is what he adds at the end there, too. I am Entei, if that is what you wish, basically. So then we get, like, the Pokemon title part, right? Where it says Pokemon the movie, or the third movie, or Pokemon the movie 3, or whatever it says.
Well, I think when she says that it is her papa, like, when he says, as you wish, I think it was more like a, if that's what you wish, I will be your papa.
Oh, you're probably right about that, actually.
That's what it sounded like to me, anyway. Yeah.
So then, yeah, then the big Pokemon, the movie 3 shows up with some Pokemon theme type music to it. Not like it sounded very like Pokemon related music, but then the music kind of transforms into something more mysterious as the title vanishes and we get Spell of the Unknown, the subtitle showing up.
Yeah.
And yeah, Entei sounds like a voice to be. It's the voice sounds just like her dad, except like a little modified.
So it is probably the dad voicing Entei.
Yeah, the same actor and everything. Which makes sense for what her vision is and her dreams or fantasies are creating, so.
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm like, and then that dude, he gets a lot of voice acting. He doesn't just get one small snippet, he gets a lot.
Yeah. But then we get to finally catch up with Ash and the gang as they're traveling. And the narrator mentions they are continuing their journey into unknown territory. Never suspecting that it is exactly where that road leads. Clever, clever, narrator. Then we see an A-bomb in a tree, which I think is her first A-bomb in the anime. And it jumps down onto a girl who's wearing like a hat or headband thing that actually reminds me of some of the designs, I think, for the main characters in Ruby and Sapphire, which I thought was kind of interesting. And the girl's voice also sounded super familiar, and so I looked into it, and turns out it's the same voice actress as Liza, or Lisa, or whatever her name is from the Characific Valley.
Yeah.
The one that has Charla?
Mm-hmm.
Where Charizard gets left behind?
Okay.
Do you remember that episode, Bubba?
Yeah.
So yeah, that lady is the same voice actress. She asks if any of them are Pokemon trainers, and Ash introduces himself. Brock rushes forward towards the pretty girl. Ash says he wants to be a Pokemon master, and Brock introduces himself and says he wants to be the girl's boyfriend. And I loved her response here, because it wasn't, like, harsh or anything. It was just matter-of-fact to the point. She's like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, she wasn't being mean. She wasn't like, ooh, you're a creep and a weirdo. But she wasn't always like, she wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, thanks. Like, that's flattering, but no thanks.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, but no.
So, she was just really cool right off the bat to be on that one.
Yeah, I like this trainer. She's pretty cool.
So she wants to battle Ash. And the way she stays focused on that idea throughout Brock's little thing makes me think she's a little like Ash and has no time for any possible notions of romance. Ash pulls out his lure ball. So they stay with that little detail, which I thought was awesome, and sends out Totodile first. And when he tosses it in, we get the theme song for the season, but redone again. And I definitely have to say I really enjoyed this version. I thought it was a really good version of the theme song.
I remember thinking it was really cool. I don't remember exactly how it sounded.
So anyway, Totodile ends up taking out Granbull, which I think is our first appearance of that Pokemon.
Wait, what's Granbull again?
Snubbull's evolution.
Oh.
And then it turns out to be... So then we get Girafarig versus Chikorita. Which I think is our first appearance of Girafarig as well.
The evolved form of Girafarig looks like the tail thing ate it.
And we see the little grass Pokemon has a distracted Pokemon moment as it cuddles up to Ashigan. Then there's a playground set nearby where they're doing this battle, which makes the battlefield even more entertaining because it's not just a straight, flat area.
It was just a cool thing to watch and hear. And listen.
Yeah, everything about this was cool. Although they did do the typical thing that they like to do in the anime and stuff, where they fight two Pokemon, one wins, so both Pokemon are recalled and two new Pokemon come out.
Yeah.
That's always been kind of weird to me.
Well, they didn't do that in the Orange League Championship.
And that's true. And I think for, like, the bigger fights, like, I think even in the Indigo League Championship stuff, they would keep them out sometimes, too. Like, Kingler stayed out forever, remember?
Cookie.
But for the most part, they always seem to, like, they like to do that. For some of those really big moments, they don't, but, like, a lot of times, it's like, oh, my Pokemon beat yours, so I'll call that one back, and we'll put two different Pokemon against each other.
To be fair, in the game, I sometimes do that, but that's just because I have a better matchup.
True, but then you can still go back to them. You haven't lost yet.
Well, I think that happened in one of the League battles, is he did that thing, but then he recalled out that Pokemon later.
Yes, and those are the same episodes where they keep him out, though. Those special episodes where they actually follow that. When they're doing the back-and-forth one, though, if they called it back, they don't bring them back out. They lose. Or win. Whichever. Mm. Anyway. There's also trees and flower beds that they're fighting around, and the Girafarig wins that battle. And so then we get Shiny Noctowl back again.
With the shimmer.
Yep, facing off Apom. And Noctowl wins that one, so then it's Bulbasaur versus Butterfree. And it was good to see Butterfree again. This is obviously the girl's Butterfree, because it's Ash's Bulbasaur.
Oh, yeah.
And Butterfree wins, so we keep kind of going back and forth on who wins each match. And then Cyndaquil beats Mankey, and then the final matchup in this 6-on-6 battle, which was super cool to have six Pokemon being used on either side, is Quagsire versus Pikachu. And Pikachu's attack doesn't work on Quagsire, which confused me at first, because Quagsire is water, but Quagsire is also ground. However, Ash's Pikachu has been known to defeat wet ground Pokemon many times.
Or just ground Pokemon in general.
True. So, it seems weird. However, Pikachu still ends up winning with a headbutt. And after that final match, the song kind of trails off and everything, and when we see the whole Pokemon group, or we see the whole group eating and hanging out with their Pokemon, and Granbull seems to be making Totodile very nervous. Like, Totodile's like, I don't know about this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're eating with the trainer, and her name turns out to be Lisa, which is really close to Lisa or Liza from the Charizard Valley. And Brock asks about a Pokemon Center, and Lisa says that the closest one is over the mountains in Greenfield. Misty is excited because everyone has heard of Greenfield, which is not true, because I hadn't heard of it, and it's not in the games.
I've heard of it because I've watched the movie before.
But you didn't remember you had heard of it. Like, you didn't remember the name. If I talked to you about Greenfield, you'd be like, oh yeah, from that Pokemon 3 movie. You would not have.
I definitely would. I remember important, like, life or death important things like that.
Mm. Anyway, Misty's wanted to visit since she was a little girl, and Lisa knows the best way to get there.
She has a lot of little girl things, like, she's wanted to do, or she's had problems with, or she's been good at, like...
So as they walk through the woods, always with the woods...
What's no one?
Apom is leaping around through the trees... So Lisa even keeps a Pokemon out, like Ash does. So more similarities between the two. Misty mentions that Greenfield is supposed to have beautiful gardens and everything, and a beautiful mansion on top of a hill, and Lisa confirms that everything there is beautiful, so Brock can't wait to get there to meet the beautiful girls that must be there.
Maybe we should have one track, Brock.
Something else I started to notice around this time in the anime, or in the movie, is that, like, the art style, there's just a little bit more boldness to it. And, like, the way they do the shadows and stuff are a little more, like, prominent and stuff. I just thought it was really cool. Anyway, they reach Greenfield and find that half of it is covered in crystal, with the mansion in the center of it all looking like a crystal flower. Team Rocket is hiding in bushes and see that Greenfield is all messed up as well. Officer Jenny drives by, and then a news van and a reporter get out and start reporting on the strange phenomenon in Greenfield. We see Delia is watching the news at home, and when the reporter mentions Professor Spencer Hale, Delia is startled and rushes to the kitchen and asks herself how much more can Spencer go through. So she apparently knows this man. Then she digs through a bunch of notes and things taped on the fridge until it uncovers the same picture that was in Molly's room of Delia, Oak, Young Ash, Young Molly, and Spencer and his wife.
So obviously she knows him. We saw her in the picture before.
Right, but I didn't actually notice everybody that was in that picture the first time. I just saw that Molly had a picture that had Professor Oak and Delia and stuff in it, and I'm like, what the heck? So Delia heads straight for Professor Oak, and the professor and Tracy are there.
She heads straight for Professor Oak because she needs her comforter, and they're in love.
I just thought it was good to see Tracy again. And they're also
fine.
Well, I mean, I don't want to see him join the group again, but it's cool to see that he's still around, like, the continuity of it and all.
He's fine.
But anyway, they're also watching the news. Tracy mentions that Spencer was one of Oak's top students, and Oak confirms he was one of the best ever, and that he had sent over some of his research into the unknown. When Delia arrives and talks with Oak to see if he's heard, Oak tells her he is going to go to Greenfield, and Delia says she's coming too. Apparently, she has known Spencer since she was a schoolgirl. Back in the crystallized house, the unknown are swirling around the room, which seems it might be the power center where everything is spreading from. There are now a lot of unknown. Oak arrives at the Pokemon Center, where Ash and the gang and Lisa are. Oh, and Skylar is also there.
And Lisa's still hanging around.
Yep, she's still hanging out.
It seemed like one of those moments where, like, you want a battle? Okay, that was great, bye.
Yeah, just like the guy in the first Pokemon movie.
But she's a cool one, and she's awesome, and she's sticking around.
Yeah.
She's my favorite.
And so then Pikachu rushes out because Delia shows up, and she warmly greets Pikachu, and then dismissively is like, hi, Ash. Like, whatever. Because she was all like, oh, Pikachu, oh, how are you? Oh, hi, Ash.
She doesn't love her son. And then she yells at him for being late to an event and keeping people waiting, even though he was, like, getting killed or something.
But this whole meeting and everything is actually also being reported on, and so Molly sees this interaction on TV inside the mansion, and then she looks at the picture on her stand of Molly and everybody, and so she tells Papa Ente she wants a mama, too, seeing Ash and Delia hug. Delia explains to the gang that she'd known Professor Hale for years. She mentions that Spencer's wife disappeared, but then there's nothing more to go on there. Like, we don't... Like, disappeared how? What happened?
She went into the unknown.
And then now all this happens? Poor Molly. Then Ente shows up, hypnotizes Delia to be Molly's mama, and he takes her back to the mansion. Ash tries to chase him down, and Pikachu makes a valiant effort of shocking Ente, but it doesn't work. They stop right at the edge of the crystallized land.
Don't Misty and Brock stop them?
Yeah, because he tries to run into the crystallized
land. You might be right. He might have tried to keep running.
I must go save my mom! Even though his mom doesn't care about him, he cares about his mom.
So, back at the mansion, Delia, fully in trance, treats Molly as her daughter. And Molly asks Papa Ente if they can all stay there forever. And Ente says, if that is what you wish.
What will they eat?
Good question. The unknown sing their creepy tune, and the crystal walls grow taller, and the crystal spreads further out, covering the windmill building now, and more land. And Ente says that Molly's world is growing bigger, and he is happy that Molly is happy. Oak recognized Entei, and they all think the unknown have something to do with it. He's pulling up a bunch of files on his computer, and here I notice that there is a bar on the bottom left of his computer that has 7 symbols for 7 of the Pokemon types. Fire, electric, grass, normal, psychic, water, and fighting. And I had to wonder, why not all the types? Where's Bug? Flying? Or even the new Dark and Steel now that we're in Johto? But I was wondering, because I remember the Pokemon game doesn't have them all, and they expanded what they do have as time went on, and sure enough, those were the first types that were in the card game, and the only types that were in there.
Were the ones on the computer?
Were the ones on the computer.
That's cool.
Dark and Steel type were coming soon, but they weren't out quite yet. Ooh. Which means while they were making it, they were almost definitely not out yet. So I thought that was kind of cool that they were just trying to, like, enhance the idea of the card game for people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Officer Jenny is with the group listening to Oak as well, and Skylar lets Oak know that the unknown are in that mansion, which Oak was afraid of. And then... Is that? It is!
Characific Valley!
Characific Valley!
I'm so excited. I'm like, now Ash will get Charizard back forever.
And
even though I knew in my heart that wasn't true.
It was so cool to see the valley again. And inside the closed off area where the metal doors are and everything, there's Charizard flying all over the place. Oh, and there's like one standing on the cliffs just watching. But then there's another one near a little brick home, and he's drinking water from like a little water fountain thing. Inside that home is Charla and her trainer, Liza or whatever her name is. And they're watching news, which mentions certain things that piques the Charizard outside the window's attention, where he's drinking, and he pokes his head in, and he's like, hmm? And he sees the report of Delia being abducted, and her son, Ash Ketchum, giving chase. That seems to strike a chord with the peeping Charizard, and he turns and looks up into the sky. And we can all assume this must be Ash's Charizard.
Yay!
So it was really cool to see him again. So then back in Greenfield, they are reporting on a bulldozer that is going to try and break through the crystallized landscape. It manages to get through part way, but Molly sees it on her screen and tells it to go away and leave them alone. Unknown fly around in a frenzy, and the bulldozer is pushed out and then crystallized as the inhabitants, or the drivers, escape from it and run back. Yeah, they don't live in the bulldozer. Back in the room where Skylar and Oak are trying to figure things out, they get an email, and it is a video message from Molly.
I wanted to point out that the trainer was here in the room with them.
Oh, Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. She tells them to stay away because she wants to stay with her mama and papa alone forever. Everyone is confused about her saying she was with her mother and father, because they're both gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Molly is riding around on Entei just like she did before at the beginning, where her dad was carrying her on his back and pretending to be Entei. Ash rushes for the edge of the crystal landscape, and despite being told to stay back for now, he's charging in. Brock and Misty stop him because they're going to go with him. Because at first he's like, hey, you can't stop me. I'm going to go. I got to go save my mom. They're like, we're not doing that. We're coming with you. Then A-Bomb shows up and hands Ash some gadgety thing. Lisa explains that it is her Poke Gear.
Our Poke Gear, just like we've got Poke Gear.
Just like in Gold and Silver video game. So that was kind of cool.
It was super cool.
And she says he can take it with him so he can stay in touch with the Pokemon Center. And she also says she won't be telling anyone what Ash is up to. Lisa is just really cool as far as the featured side characters are concerned.
Yeah, I like her a lot. She should be a companion instead of Tracy.
She would be a cooler companion.
No one likes Tracy. Go away, Tracy.
Poor Tracy.
Poor Tracy. Poor us. We had to deal with him.
So the gang follows a stream, and they're wading through the water to get to the mansion, which ends up leading to a hilarious conversation with Team Rocket up in a balloon. Meowth is spying on them, and mentions the twerps are walking through a stream to get to the strange building, making Team Rocket suspect something of value must be there. James says that the only way to get there must be by wading. And Meowth is like, but they're walking through the water. James says they're wading. Meowth says they're walking. Jesse says they're waiting, and Meowth is like, how can they be waiting if they're walking? Because he says waiting, not waiting.
Yeah.
And then James is like, they're walking through the stream? Yeah. Jesse and James are like, then they're waiting! It's so great. So then Entei appears on top of a tower, which makes Team Rocket nervous, and then it blasts them. And Team Rocket's balloon bursts, and they sail downward and crash as they say, Team Rocket! Boom! So I think that is another we're off again, since we counted when the rock fell on top of them in the middle of it, too. The crystal stuff opened right where they fell, and so they go inside. So I think they end up inside the building now. It's really kind of confusing. Like, they just kind of get sucked in. Like, they crashed into the crystal stuff, but then they were, like, absorbed inside of it. And then they're in that, like, chamber where they're, like, hanging on, like, some of the in-between parts of, like, these almost, like, ropes of crystal between things. So they're not ropes, I guess. So then Molly watches the news, and the reports are causing problems again, as it shows Chikorita, Bulbasaur, and Noctowl exploring a way into the building.
Reporters just need to go away.
Right? The grass Pokemon use Vine Whip to help Ash and Co. get up there. Oak and Skylar see Ash climbing on the news as well, and of course Oak is angry and says that boy is looking for trouble. Lisa defends Ash and says he's looking for his mom. Mm-hmm.
Go, Lisa.
Yeah. Delia stares at the TV and seems to be recognizing the boy, and then when Ash slips a little on this like waterfall thing they're trying to climb up, Delia's eyes flash back to normal and she yells at Ash to get down from there. Not that he can hear her on TV. Not the first time she's talked to Ash through the TV. Or tried to. Molly asks her what's wrong, and Delia looks over and sees Molly and Entei and realizes she needs to play as if she's still hypnotized, and says that nothing is wrong.
Wait, she's just playing along.
At that point, she was hypnotized all up until Ash slipped, and then she...
Yeah. Oh, I thought she just got hypnotized again.
No.
Oh, no.
I know, she plays it really well, because you're like, oh, because, like, even for me, the first time I watched it, I'm like, maybe she didn't fully snap out of it. Maybe it was just a moment. But as we, like, get further on, there's nothing to actually snap her out of it later, so she is just playing along the rest of the time.
What?
Yeah, she's good.
She tricked me.
I can't believe you guys were tricked by that.
I wasn't tricked for very long. I wasn't sure. Oh, like, I was just like, did she fully snap out, or was it a partial snap out? So Molly sees the Pikachu on Ash's back, and then the Bulbasaur, and Chikorita, and so she gets excited and realizes that Ash must be a Pokemon trainer. Once everyone is up, Ash returns his Pokemon and the gang continue forward. Pokegear rings, and Lisa checks to see if they're okay, while Oak is obviously still cringy. But he and Skylar think they've figured out what is happening. They think the unknown can read thoughts of people and can create new realities, and so it is the unknown causing everything. So to get inside the building, Cyndaquil and Vulpix blast a fire hole, and then Totodile and Staryu use water gun to keep the crystal hole from closing, because they tried it once and it closed right back up.
Yeah.
And they use that like torrent of water to send everyone through. Like they like Brock and Misty and all the other Pokemon like get in and just like rode through the stream through the hole.
And then they were still dry when they came out.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
They were not dry. At least saw one of them were wet.
I think they were dry.
You might be right. So then the two water Pokemon get closer along with Ash, and then Ash gets in front and grabs them as he goes through. Like they all go through together. The reality shifts around them as they start going upstairs, and they emerge into a beautiful grassy field. Meanwhile, Team Rocket burst through and find themselves in the unknown chamber. They sneak by them, not wanting to be noticed. Molly is sure Ash is inside the building somewhere, and so Molly wants to get into a Pokemon battle, and Entei will make it happen as she wishes. So he descends through the floor to find Ash and Co., and leaves Molly behind, but also Molly's on his back going down with him. That confused me for a bit, because I was like, oh, Molly's going with him, but then she was still upstairs.
Wait, how is Molly with him?
Because he took, like, a more, like, fantasy version of her that he could mold into be whatever.
Okay.
It's weird. This all just adds to the weird fantasy of this all, because this is all not real, and she's trying to force that this fantasy world on those around her and herself, like, everything, including Delia making her mama, right? Like, which you can't do. You can't force your fantasy on other people because it's not reality. You can't just make that be. To add to the removal of reality, she now has a fantasy version of herself, so she's still not even the one that's actually doing it. Like, she kind of is, because her mind is probably connected to it somehow, but, like, it's still just, like, a fake version of herself that's now going down and doing these things that she wants to be doing. So now she has, like, an added layer to this fantasy. It's kind of really silly. Anyway, she fears she isn't old enough to train Pokemon, and so she suddenly grows to look older, because Entei does that for her. Or the unknown really does.
I like how she's like a teenager and stuff. I like her look and stuff.
So when she shows up on this grassy field area, Brock figures out that the older girl that just showed up is Molly. Ash is going to battle, but Brock steps in and Ash needs it explained that this will be a diversion so Ash can find his mom.
He's such an idiot.
That he is. Brock and Molly agree to a 3-versus-3 Pokemon battle, and suddenly a battlefield appears. Ash and Misty run up another flight of steps.
Also, Molly, when she grows into a teenager, she has this, a wish that she can just make a Pokeball come out of nowhere with the Pokemon inside.
True.
So, Mario chooses cute Pokemon, but they are very, very strong.
I wish I could do that.
Do what?
Choose cute Pokemon, but they're strong.
No.
Yeah, she was, like, choosing cute Pokemon, but they, like, killed him.
Yeah. So, yeah, the battle ends up being Zubat first against Flaffy. And then Flaffy wins, of course, and so then she sends out Teddy Ursa, which takes out Vulpix. And it was after that one Brock says something creepy-ish if we are to remember that Molly's actually a little girl and not this older girl that he's looking at.
It just sounded like he was kind of like trying to keep her happy and distracted.
Yeah, it seemed a little flirty. It was bordering on flirty. Not as flirty as he usually gets, but it was bordering. But anyway, during that match, Team Rocket sneaks by behind the battle and heads up the next flight of steps. Finally, it's Onyx against Phanpy, and the little blue elephant rolls Onyx right out of the fight. Ash continues running up steps, and Delia starts looking at Molly's book while she's resting. Delia seems to realize that is where the world is coming from. So she wants to help Molly, and then Ash and Misty end up at a beach on some new floor that they're on. Entei appears with older Molly, and when Misty chooses to face her, Molly learns that Misty is a gym leader, even though she's not that old. So Molly realizes she doesn't have to be old either, so she turns to... Well, not that she was playing an old person, she was just like a teenager or whatever. But she shifts down to be about the same age as Misty now, and seems to be wanting to be just like her as a water trainer as well, because they both end up just using water Pokemon.
Doesn't, like, the whole area just, like, fill up with water, but they still can breathe?
Yes. So while Ash is leaving up the stairs, the whole area of the beach is suddenly just filled with water, but Molly and Misty are able to breathe just fine under there.
Well, I think Ash is, too.
I think Ash actually avoids the water.
Oh, yeah.
He gets up the stairs first. But then, yeah, as the battle starts up, we see some people swimming behind.
Yeah, Team Rocket's sneaking around some more.
To get to the stairs to keep going.
I think she filled it up with water so that the water Pokemon can actually swim around and have a cool event. Flop, flop, flop.
Probably. So, yeah, and then we have Molly sending out a Kingdra, which I was excited to see, and I don't think we've seen him yet either, along with, like, the Teddy Ursa and Flaffy that we saw earlier. We've seen Mareep, but not Flaffy before. But yeah, Molly sends out Kingdra, and Misty brings in Goldeen. Kingdra wins, of course. And the music here, the battle music for this scene, was really cool, I thought. It was a really cool beat to it. I think it was after the Team Rockets went by, I think it was somewhere in between there, then we get Staryu versus Mantine. Finally, Ash reaches his mom, and the real Molly. Delia gives Ash a hard time for being reckless, but Ash claims he got his reckless streak from her. I mean, maybe. We don't know enough about Delia, but I could believe it. Delia wakes up Molly so they can all leave, and Delia tries to explain that she isn't Molly's real mother.
Come on, just play along until like you guys get out of here.
Ash tries to remind Molly that they had played together before when they were young. Molly doesn't want to leave, and the unknowns start going crazy, and crystal spikes start shooting up all over the place. And the whole building becomes more fortified and dangerous. Delia tries to leave with Ash and without Molly, since she won't leave, but crystals then separate them. Ash and Entei argue about Ash taking Delia back with him, so then he sends in Totodile and claims he won't lose to an illusion. When Totodile goes down, Ash sends in Cyndaquil, but Entei continues to be too strong, despite not being real. He claims that Entei was dreamed up by Molly, and she says Ash is wrong, and Entei claims to not be an illusion. The unknown are going really crazy now, and something is glowing intensely in that room. I think it's like a portal to their dimension or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Wind blows all around, and now Pikachu is trying to stop Entei. Delia is helpless watching between the crystals, so she tries to appeal to Molly instead and tells her to think about her real parents. Team Rocket arrives at the wrong time and get caught in crossfire. Then Ash and Pikachu are knocked out of the tower and fall to their death. Or they would, but at that very moment they are caught by...
Charizard! So a rocking reunion!
Do we count reunions with Pokemon? I thought we didn't. That was our whole conversation with the Squirtle and stuff.
Charizard is so important. Maybe ones that he's left behind that we can count as a rocking reunion. No! It is a rocking reunion.
The reunions seem more for the characters, the people.
I'm disappointed in you.
Because I don't know how many times there would be a rocking reunion with the Pokemon anyway.
How about just with the very important Pokemon?
I'll let the listeners decide on that one. For now, I will not count it, but if you guys weigh in otherwise and say I should listen to Ruby because she's smarter than me, then we'll go that route. Anyway, so Charizard does catch them. He carries them back up into the tower, and Delia tries to comfort Molly, but she steps back. Ash talking about his Pokemon as family seems to catch Molly's attention, though. And then Entei knocks Ash out of the building again, but Brock, Misty, and Team Rocket help to catch Ash in a Team Up Rocket moment.
Yeah. Is there always going to be a Team Up Rocket moment in the movies?
There might be, because I think they've done it every time. What did they do in the Mewtwo one? Did they actually team up? You could... argue that they did, sort of, but it was part of a plot, and that was helping them cross the ocean.
It's not a Team Up Rocket.
Probably not. So I don't know if they actually teamed up in that one. But in the second movie, they certainly did. But yeah, their reasoning was funny, too, because after all, without Ash and company, they'd be out of show business. So they got a little meta, and I do think they get a little meta with every movie.
So... they'd be out of show business without Ash and Co. And Ash and Co. would be out of show business without Team Rocket.
So they're all helping each other. Every episode is a Team Up Rocket. So after saving him, they're all going to leave. And Ash offers to bring Molly with so that she can have real Pokemon. But then she claims she already does, as very fake versions of Teddy, Ursa, Flaffy, and another Pokemon that I can't remember show up. There was three Pokemon. Does anybody remember what they all were? Because they weren't, like, well-distinguished. Like, you couldn't tell what they were. Like, you could tell what they were, but they were all, like, bluish color, like, almost liquidy or something. Like, illusions. They look like illusions as opposed to, like, the real Pokemon. Well, there was three of them, anyway. I'm pretty sure.
Were there, though? Or are you just going...
I'm pretty sure there was three.
Entei and Charizard battle with Ash riding on Charizard as he flies around... so apparently he has gotten stronger in the Charizific Valley. The battle is then taken outside the towers. Entei almost falls, but Molly sees, and so suddenly spikes start popping out for Entei to jump along to get back up to the battle. During the fight, Entei says, right and wrong don't matter, for he will do as Molly wishes. That's all that matters. Delia hugs Molly, which helps start to break down her barriers, which I thought was cool. Like, Delia's been trying a bunch here, and she was able to fake being hypnotized for a while. Like, she's actually a useful part of this story, which I thought was cool.
She's like, not the worst character. She usually is like, oh, Ash, you have a twin!
Or, Ash, don't do these stupid things that are going to get you killed. Even though it's saving the world. Eventually, Charizard is hit, and he falls to the ground inside the tower again. And Entei almost finishes him off, but Molly says stop and pleads with Papa for no more fighting. So Entei steps back. Brock tells Molly that she's a great trainer, and Misty says she already has good instincts and she could be a gym leader someday. Outside, the battles might be hard, but the friends are real. Delia says it is what Molly's Papa would want. So Molly steps away from Entei and takes Delia's hand. Molly wants things real again. The fortifications start to shrink down, and the three fake crystal-y Pokemon vanish. Entei walks away. Entei's purpose is to make Molly happy in there, and if Molly would be happier out there in the real world, then he must go. But then things get bad as more spikes start popping up, and so Entei helps break through and leads the gang back down the stairs. Ash puts Molly on Charizard to be carried. The unknown are going nuts, and Ash uses the Pokegear to talk to Oak, and the professor says that the unknown have lost control after absorbing so much psychic energy. The crystal landscape starts spreading even more, and if they don't get out soon, they could be trapped inside forever. Oak, Jenny, and the reporters have to leave the Pokemon Center as the crystal stuff is getting even closer and starts to take over the building. Ash and company and Team Rocket all find the unknown room, and so they decide they need to stop them, but there is a barrier protecting them. Charizard blasts a hole through it, but then it closes and hits him back. Charizard and Pikachu team up, and it goes better, but then they are both blasted back even harder. More spikes seem to appear in retaliation to them trying to get through. Team Rocket then decide to leave because they don't want to be in all this, but they can't get out because their exit ends up getting cut off.
Well, yeah, they're starting to get trapped. Their exit would be cut off.
Yeah. Well, like, they go for the doors, but then, like, crystal spikes even appear in front of there and block it and stuff. Then Entei appears, and he tells Molly he was proud to be her father, and now he will help her get free. He says she just needs to believe in him. And if she does, there is nothing he can't do. So Entei is blasting through the barrier, and it's kind of interesting because it is her wishes that the unknown respond to, creating this Entei, which then will defeat the unknown because it is what she wishes.
Complicated.
Charizard and Pikachu back Entei up, and finally the beast gets through and shatters the unknown's power. The unknown gets sucked back into the dimension, and all the changes to reality goes with it, and the Scrabble tiles also fall, glow, and vanish. So all the unknown all fly back to their secret chamber place through another portal, which then gets them into the portal back to their dimension. And then Spencer wakes up on the floor there.
Which is Molly's dad, if you didn't remember.
Now they can all see true Greenfield, and Misty says she told them it was beautiful, and Brock says, and real. Mm-hmm. Oak and everyone arrive in a caravan. This includes Jenny and the police. And Team Rocket is stuck up in a tower, realizing they can't leave now, not with all the police around. Which gives us an entertaining exit. Because they don't blast off, but they still get to say a line where they're like, we're off again, because they say, Team Rocket's fading out again. And right there, the credits for the movie start to roll. But that does not mean the movie is done, because we get a lot of scenes as the credits rolling. And this time it's more than just people wandering around, like the gang just wandering through different scenery and stuff. We actually have some plot stuff. Because first off, we see Spencer, Molly's dad, returning home to be with Molly. And then we see Ash farther out, like on the path somewhere near Greenfield, and saying goodbye to Charizard.
Come on, keep your stupid Charizard!
As he flies back, presumably back to Charizific Valley.
Why, Charizard?
And then we say goodbye to Lisa, too, right in that same moment, I think, which Brock is so sad about, and we get a babysitting Brock moment as we see from a distance that Misty is dragging him off by his ear again.
So two babysitting Brocks.
Yeah. And then we see a lot of traveling and stuff like we normally do. We see Oak back at home falling off his couch while sleeping, and Tracy is sweeping the place. Then Delia is working in the kitchen with Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime.
And then we see that Molly actually has a real Teddy Ursa and is playing with it at home in, like, an upper area, which is, I think, where Ash and them actually broke into the building. Because there's, like, water up there and stuff. But she has a real Teddy Ursa now and is playing with it. And then her dad shows up and waves at her to come over because Molly's mom is home. Yay! Where the heck was she?
She was with the unknown. So at the beginning of the movie, when the dad paused and then switched to something else, instead of saying, ever since your mom disappeared. So she was just discovering the unknown or something.
Yeah, it was based off of that line and Delia mentioning that the mom just vanished or whatever. It does seem to suggest that he started studying the unknown at least more intensely after his wife disappeared.
Because the unknown took her.
Does that make sense? I've heard that in the Japanese version, there's some of the lines suggest that she was actually just sick and in the hospital.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
I would agree. And the person who originally, like, wrote it or something, I try to remember, didn't like that. He was like, I wouldn't have done that because it doesn't make sense that she would steal somebody else's mom when she could just get her own mom out of the hospital. So, in this case, if that's true, the translation is probably a better one for that particular part. Oh, and during the whole credits, we do have a song called To Know the Unknown, which is like a slow song, which I'm not always that big into, but I did really like this song for this movie. Like, it was nice to go along with all the epilogue-y part of the movie with the credits. I certainly liked it better than the Mewtwo Strikes Back song that ended that movie. Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution, on the other hand, I really liked that ending credit song. And then we see some more Ash and Co. traveling, and that is the end of the movie!
Something weird about this whole movie is it's like, what's the title exactly?
Spell of the Unknown, Enter.
Yeah, Enter. Enter. No real Enter. He's an illusion the whole time.
Yeah, but it was represented well.
I know, but still, illusion Enter. Like, there's no Enter.
So why technically even, why would you even put it in the title?
Well, because he's featured. It's all about Enter. Okay. But and the spell of the unknown is Ente. It's a fake Ente, but that was their spell that created it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, something I liked about the movie particularly is, like, the message of this movie, I felt, was, like, more, had, was a lot stronger than the previous movies. Like, the first movie was all, like, hey, we should all get along. Which is a good message, but, like, can be a little hokey. Especially when they say, hey, Pokemon weren't meant to fight. Like this. And then the second movie, I don't know if there was a huge message for that one. He was just saving the world, which is a good plot. But they did sneak in a little thing about not collecting for collecting's sake, almost. Like, because the bad guy was this collector person. But, like, that's the whole point of Pokemon, is to collect. So I wouldn't say he was necessarily doing anything wrong by trying to collect the legendary or Lugia or whatever. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, just...
Sure, he was going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, you should actually try and catch them in a Pokeball instead of just like...
However, if you did it that way, it would still disrupt, because supposedly catching them disrupted the flow of the world and would destroy it all.
So technically he was wrong. It was wrong because, like, it's probably like a law or something.
I mean, maybe. It's not in the game, though.
Nope.
Anyway, let's check our tallies from the... We only had one, which I didn't even include originally, from the Pikachu and Pichu, and that was a babysitting Brock moment. So we'll have two of those, because we also had a babysitting Brock moment here when Misty had to drag him away from lamenting Lisa's departure. The other one was Misty pushing Brock along with Ash to go do whatever they were going to do. So we also had distracted Pokemon, because Chikorita cuddles Ash. We just had the one, though. We had two We're Off Again, because the balloon crash saying Team Rockets, and then boom. And then we had Team Rockets fading out again at the end of the movie. We had a team-up Rocket, because they all work together to save Ash, and they kind of are just together as they're escaping, but they're not necessarily working together at that point. We had an entertaining exit, because Team Rocket do not blast off at the end. They just fade off. And then we talked about babysitting Brock. So those are our tallies. Not a whole lot from the movie in short, but there they are. All right. So our tally so far now are babysitting Brock, 26. Big Brother Pikachu, 1. Broken Bridges, 4. Busted Bots, 12. Catching Catchphrases, 10. Distracted Pokemon, 36. Entertaining Exits, 3. Evolutions, 1. Friendly Fire, 11. Gotta Catch 'em All, 8. Gotta Give 'em Up, 3. Interesting Intro, 36. Irritating Interruptions, 7. Jumpin' Jigglypuff, 5. Modified Motto, 6. One Track Ash, 3. Psyduck Sighting, 6. Recurring Rivals, 1. Rockin' Reunions, 3. Shiny, 1. Team Up Rocket, 4. Togepi Trouble, 2. We're Off Again, 13. And Vanity, Vanity, 4. Now, I want to rate a couple things with this movie. So, there's a few questions. First up is, in what order would you put the movie versions of the 3 or 4, if you want to count Evolution, theme songs? As in, which had the best rendition of their theme song? So you're not rating the theme song itself, because we all know that your favorite theme song, for some of you, is obviously going to be the first one. I want to be the very best. But what I mean is, who did a better job at doing their version of it? So, like, for me, the theme song for the first season is excellent. But I do not appreciate the changes they made in the renditions for the Pokemon the movie and Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. It was okay. Evolution, I think, I really didn't like. I think the other one was fine. The second one, We All Live in a Pokemon World, I did not like their version of Pokemon 2000. I like that they did one, but I did not like their version. Pokemon 3, with the Pokemon Johto theme song, I thought was fantastic. And it is my favorite version of, like, they did the best job at, like, taking the song and making it better.
You like the changes of it?
Or? Yes. I thought they did the best job. They actually improved on Pokemon 3, where I don't think they actually improved it on the other two. That is the original song.
I'm like, is that the remix?
Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. I don't think it had that opening on the other one, but this I think is right. And then, for our last one.
Everybody
Alright, those are the songs.
Which one is your least favorite?
Okay, so my least favorite would probably be the second one. The second movie, I mean, but like, not the Meiji one.
Oh, so you thought the Johto song version, like they did the worst translation of that song to the movie. Okay. Yeah. And what's your next one?
My next one would probably be the Mewtwo ones.
Both of them?
Yeah.
All right. And so then your favorite is the new one?
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead, Ruby.
Okay. Well, my least favorite? I'm probably going to go with the first one since that's my favorite normal one, so...
So you hated what they did to it?
Yeah.
Understandable.
Because the second movies also really suck, but the first theme song was better, so I guess it's like bringing it down even more.
That's a valid argument.
So yeah, they both were not good. So this one is my favorite.
My least favorite is the second one. My favorite is the old one.
The first movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So, for me, I definitely did not like the song in Pokemon 2000. Sequence was kind of fun, but everything. And I liked the movie, but I did not like their version of the song at all. Whereas, I thought there was some cool stuff that they did with the Mewtwo Strikes Back one. If you listen to the whole thing, though, there's points in the middle that just get bad, I think. And so, I think Evolution is actually probably my least favorite, if I remember them correctly. The second movie is my least favorite, but then it's Evolution, and then it's the regular Mewtwo Strikes Back, and then my favorite by far is Pokemon 3. Yeah.
It doesn't actually suck.
It's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Alright, so then, the main ending songs. What order would you put those in?
The ending songs?
Yeah, the credit.
Oh, I don't remember all those. Which movie is this for?
The first one. The original.
Wait, do I have to write that one? I didn't even watch that one. I mean, I've seen it before, but I didn't even watch it.
There we go.
You must always remember. Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy. When so much is on the line, a much better place, the power of
that last one was Lugia's, in case you didn't know. That was Lugia's theme music that they used throughout the movie, but with lyrics. It's the power of one. To Know the Unknown, the one I just played?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I think if I had to have a least favorite one, it would be the second movie, not the Mewtwo ones.
Okay.
And then my favorite one is Into the Unknown.
To Know the Unknown.
To Know the Unknown.
Into the Unknown is Into the Unknown.
You got me mixed up, woman.
What about Do you have an idea for the middle parts of them? Like where you put the other ones?
I really like the evolution. Mewtwo evolution.
My two favorites are evolution and the third one, and my two least favorites are the other two.
Yeah, but which one's your favorite?
We're gonna go, since the mood was just so right with the first one, or the third one, I mean, we're gonna go with third one being my most favorite, then evolution being my second favorite, then Lugia being my third, and then Forgettable being my fourth.
Forgettable. All right, so for me, Mewtwo Strikes Back is my least favorite. The next one in the list would be the second movie. I thought it was really cool that they added lyrics to Lugia's song. That was fantastic. So it's actually significantly better than Mewtwo Strikes Back. But it's still the second on my list, as far as the bottom goes, you know?
It's the same as me so far?
Then my next one, I don't know, I wasn't paying that close attention to what you said. But then my next one is To Know the Unknown. I thought that's a pretty decent song, but it's not my favorite. My favorite is Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution ending theme. I thought that thing was fantastic, and I listened to it regularly. I love that song so much.
I just thought the mood was proper for
it. Hey, no, that's good art. That's a good reasoning, okay? But I just really, really enjoy Keep Evolving.
Plus, I haven't heard the whole thing with Keep Evolving and haven't watched it.
Because that one also ends, because of the way the movie works, too, that one ends with a little, some notes from the theme song, like the original theme song. Like, they don't play the words or anything, but there's just some music to go with it. It's a really good ending to it.
Maybe I would have liked it more if I'd seen the movies.
All right. What was the best showing off Pokemon moment? So, what I mean by this is, each movie had a moment where they showed off the Pokemon. Now, Evolution and Strikes Back are pretty much the same thing, just different art. So, you can just lump those together. But what I'm saying is it the battle with the guy who had a Donphan in Strikes Back? Was it the boat scene where they just all let their Pokemon out in the boats and like Charizard shoots his flames, Snorlax almost tips the boat so they return them, that kind of stuff? Was it that one? Or was it the battle in Pokemon 3? So there was a battle in Pokemon 1 and Pokemon 3, and then there was the boats thing in the second one.
And they did that like during the theme song and stuff?
Yes, they were always during the theme song.
Okay. Alright. Well, my favorite is probably the third one. Probably mostly because she carries out. And then it was just cool, like the jumping around and stuff. Second, probably the boat scene. And then third is the first one.
Go ahead, Rosella.
Okay, so my favorite is the third one. I just like all the jumping around, fighting and stuff. And then my second favorite is the Mewtwo Strikes Back evolution for sure. Because I don't remember the first one. And I like the battle where he like rolls around and stuff. And then my least favorite then would be the boat one, but it's not too far away.
Do you have an opinion, Bye-Bye?
My favorite was the boat one. And then my second favorite is the third one. Least favorite is the
two
ones.
Sounds good. So yeah, we have definitely a variety of opinions on that one. My favorite lines up with Rosella, though. I really like the third one battle. I like the first one battle, because I just like them showing off in battle so much. The second one is a blast, and I'm trying to separate this in my head from the song, but the song does still detract from it a little bit, too. So.
Yeah, I just like more action than sitting on a boat.
I mean, well, they weren't just sitting on a boat. They were going off in the water. There was all kinds of antics, and there was humor to that one, and I definitely enjoyed it. And it's definitely high, but the others just beat it, because I like the battle.
Well, I barely remember the first one, so it doesn't really play much of a part.
Sure.
It's like Donphan, the lame one. Thanks.
All right. Now, this one you don't necessarily have to rank, but which movie used Team Rocket the best?
Ooh, definitely the second one.
The second one.
Thank you, Bye-Bye.
I really liked all of them, like, in the Evolution one, like, they helped, I think, with Mewtwo and stuff. And I know even Meowth was talking to the other Meowth.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. The second one
probably be it.
The one. So it's unanimous. The second one used Team Rocket the best, for sure. I love the way they were used. Yeah, because the way they got used to help out, and that they were, like, blasting off for good and all that stuff. Like, they actually, like, were super helpful there and everything. It was awesome.
And the part where, like, that's good. That's
bad. Y'all, so funny. and, like, the waiting situation in this one, the number three, was on, like, it was getting up to that kind of humor, right? The same thing with the, oh, that's good, that's bad. But that that's good, that's bad moment was just so much better. And the whole use in that whole movie was so good.
I loved it.
All right. So then, finally, overall, what order would you rank the movies? Go ahead, Rosella.
For my first one would be the third movie. And then my second is the first one. And then my least is the other. But I still really like the other one because it had all the birds.
Oh, the legendary birds?
Yeah. Mine goes 2-3-1. I like the second one the best, with the birds and everything. It's so cool. The third one, I like that one, too. It's not my favorite, just... I guess it's... I just see it as kind of a bland movie. I don't know. It's cool and everything, but, like, it's just, like, an episode or something. It's kind of like, that's good, but... And then the very first one, that's my least favorite, it's... a fine one, like, I like it enough, but...
Okay.
I don't necessarily dislike any of the movies, just... I got favorites.
Sure. Bye-bye.
The three legend birds.
That's your favorite one, number two?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite?
The Mewtwo.
Okay. Mewtwo. So you go 2-3-1, which I think is exactly what Ruby did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And for me, my least favorite is the Mewtwo Strikes Back movies. Then my next favorite is Pokemon 2000. I really enjoy the saving the world aspect to it and everything. It was really cool. The chasing, like, there was a lot of cool action. Team Rocket was used so well in that movie. But my favorite is definitely this one. And yes, it seems sort of weird because it seems like on such a smaller scale. I mean, Mewtwo was kind of a small scale, but he could be a bigger threat. Whereas this was just kind of here in this little town about this little girl, right? But the message of the movie about fighting fantasy and not, like, pushing that and not living in a fake reality and just embracing what is real even when it's hard, I thought that was such a good message and really, like, impactful, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to the messages. I'm just like, that's a good movie, that's not a good movie.
Sure.
That's a good movie, that's not.
For me, especially at my age, maybe, it just, like, I'm not necessarily looking for it, it just struck me. All right. But that is our coverage of the third Pokemon movie. So that means it is time for bed. No, just kidding. That means Pokemon cards!
Yay!
Smells so good. All right, Bubba, what do you get? Well, first of all, what did you open? Looks like you have Scarlet and Violet Paldean Fates with, I think, the Tinkatink or whatever on the front.
Nice. That looks like an evolution of Tinkatink.
Well, something along those lines, anyway. All right, Bye-bye, what do you got?
It's got Exeku, a psychic type, and then we have a dark type Gastly.
A dark Gastly, that's cool.
And a psychic Rout, and then we have a grass of Tortuga, and then we have a fighting type, not Vandavos from Fampi.
That's perfect, since there's, like, that slide in the movie.
And in the Mewtwo Strikes Back, when the guy used the elephant thing.
Donphan. But Donphan. Also, Molly used Fampi in her battle. That might have been the third cute Pokemon, actually.
Yep,
that
probably was.
The fake illusionary ones.
Yeah, and then we have a item. Electric Generator, an item. And then we have a fighting type. Grapple Rock, and it evolves Clobopus. We have a fire type, evolves Hollow, Paldean Turtles. Then we have a fighting type that is evolves Hollow, and it's called Annihilate. And it evolves from Primate. Then we have a trainer, Professor's Resource. And then we have a Metal Energy.
Woohoo! Thank you, Bubba.
My turn. I opened a Crown Zenith. And
what's on it?
Oh, Sword and Zacian and Zamazenta. The Sword and Shield Pokemon.
Yep.
And my first Pokemon is Shinx, the electric type. And Corphish, a water type. Ponyard, metal type. And Seal, water type.
Seal.
Rockruff, fighting type. V-Star, Hisuian, Samurott.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and it has a little Snorunt. A Rangaroo. A normal type. And a fire energy. Dusclops, psychic type, evolves from Duskull. Trekking shoes item. Lairon, evolves from Iron, a metal type. And yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So first up, we've got a Diplin, evolves from Applin, grass type. Then a Pansier, fire type. Metatite, fighting type. Clink, steel type. Luminium, evolves from Finian, water type. That looks kind of cool, too.
Oh, yeah, that is cool.
Ooh. Then a Rapidash, evolves from Ponyta, fire type. And it's got a kind of cool picture, too.
Ooh. I don't have that one yet.
Then a Vigavolt, evolves from Charjabug. Didn't we just have a whole thing about these last time?
I think maybe.
Electric type. And then for one of my reverse hollows, a Gossifleur, grass type. And then the other one, Lantern, evolves from Chinchou, and it's electric type. Then for my rare, Melmetal, evolves from Melton, steel type. And then a pretty water energy.
Nice.
Oh, I was opening a Stellar Crown, Scarlet and Violet.
I am opening Scarlet and Violet Paldea Evolved with a Skeldirge on the front. Ooh, I got Wattrel, electric type. Hey, Tinkatink, psychic type. I have Shroodle, dark type. I have Glimmit, fighting type. I have Pupitar, evolves from Larvitar, fighting type.
Oh, that guy.
Ooh, I got Flamigo, colorless. Oh, I got Bombardier, dark type.
Ooh.
I have a reverse holo Krogunk, fighting type. A reverse holo Nacli. Nacli? I don't know. Fighting type.
Basically a rock mushroom.
Ooh, and I have a Pikachu EX.
Ooh,
lightning type.
That's cool.
That's super cool.
Ooh,
and despite all those fighting type that I listed, I got water type energy.
I'll trade you my energy.
In fact, I didn't get a single water type Pokemon. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. We are on Amazon, Spotify, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. And we also are on YouTube at Hunterfield Institute. So wherever you find us, go ahead and like, subscribe, rate, review, leave comments, let us know what you're thinking. And whatever it may be, including yelling at us for getting things wrong or telling me that Ruby's right and we should include certain things in our tally.
Obviously, Ruby's always right.
We also have a Facebook page for Routes Through Pokemon, and I am also on X at Hunterfield Inns, HunterfieldInns. And I'm also on Instagram at Kinetic_card. And if you really want to reach out to us, we also have an email at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. We've just covered Pokemon the Movie 3 and its accompanying short. Next week, we will be covering the last two episodes of Johto Journeys and the first two episodes of Johto League Champions.
Woohoo!
As we make our way to the third gym in Goldenrod City with Whitney and her Miltank. So, that's what we'll be covering there, and then the week after that, we will be detailing our journey from the third gym to the fourth gym, which will be exciting. So, we will catch you on the next route.
Bye-bye!
Part 22, The Girl on Route 3. The route looked different during the day. Last time Violet had traveled along it toward Pewter City, it had been late at night. It was a lot less ominous in the sunshine, and one could see quite a way, so if any Team Rocket thugs came looking for her again, she would probably see them. There was another change that came with the earlier hours. There were more people traveling the route, and more than a couple kids around her own age were trying to catch Pokemon and battling one another with the ones they had. This inevitably meant that she would be slowed down a lot more on her way to Mount Moon than one brat and a random Spearow had accomplished before. As soon as she had that thought, a girl, maybe a couple years older, called out to Violet.
Hey, you! Yeah, you with the blonde hair! Want a battle?
A part of Violet wanted to say no. She really wanted to get back through Mount Moon as quick as possible. But, at the same time, she would need to train herself and her Pokemon more if she hoped to take on the rest of the gyms. She did not want to make a fool of herself in front of Misty after she had been the one to help Violet get started on her journey. Looking over to the girl, Violet nodded.
Yeah, okay.
The other girl, who had long brown hair that curled slightly, clapped excitedly at Violet's acceptance.
Yay! Let's go!
The girl wasted no time and tossed out a Pokeball, and out emerged a Pidgey. Violet nodded and decided she would match with her own bird Pokemon, and sent out Spearow.
Alright, Katana, this one's yours.
The speed at which Violet's newest Pokemon shot into the air was impressive. Both girls shouted commands to their Pokemon, and the two flew around one another, trying to peck at the other. Then Violet's opponent switched tactics as the birds flew lower to the ground, and she called out,
Sand Attack!
The Pidgey flew fast toward the Spearow, and then opened its wings wide to stop short, and then flapped them hard, blowing up a bunch of sand and debris into its opponent's eyes. Unable to see very well, Katana struggled to land hits while the Pidgey went back to pecking unhindered.
All right, you did good work, but now come back and get some rest.
Violet pointed the Pokeball at the bird, and a familiar beam of light reached out and collected the Spearow. Then Violet pulled out another Pokeball and sent out,
V, your turn!
As soon as the pale Eevee dropped out onto the field, the other girl was shocked.
What is that Pokemon?
It's an Eevee. Have you never seen one?
An Eevee? Really?
The girl squealed in delight.
They're pretty rare, aren't they? I thought they were more brown, though. At least it looks that way in the picture I saw.
Violet shrugged.
Yeah, I've only ever seen this one. Grew up with it. But I just figured they must have different shades. Maybe this one has just gotten gray with old age.
You grew up with it? Really? Wow, how lucky!
All the attention and compliments were making Violet feel a little awkward. She scratched at the side of her head, not sure what to say.
Yeah, I guess. It was my dad's. I'm not sure how or when he caught it. It was before I was around, though. I'm pretty sure.
And your dad let you take it with you?
Violet froze. She had been keeping her mind off what happened to her father as best she could. But the reminders always seemed to sneak up on her. What could she say? If she told the truth, it would bring down the mood, and the other girl seemed to be quite cheery. But then, what should she say? Nothing at all? A lie?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The girl clearly noticed something off, and her eyes narrowed a little in suspicion.
Did you sneak off with your dad's Pokemon?
What? No!
Violet had become very flustered.
Look, it's complicated, but trust me, I didn't do anything wrong.
Does he know you have his Pokemon?
Well, no, but... Look, he would want me to have V with me. Just trust me.
The other girl raised an eyebrow.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess we have a way to prove it.
Violet straightened.
We do?
Of course. If that little cutie is totally cool with being with you, then it will battle just fine. Which I would love to see, by the way. An Eevee in action? But if you stole him, well, and he won't listen to you. At least that's what I've heard.
Okay, sure.
Violet smirked. She didn't know if what the girl said was true at all, but it didn't matter. V and her were close, practically family, and he listened to her perfectly.
V, quick attack!
Pidgey, peck!
And the worst thing happened. Pidgey dove down to peck at V, who just sat there, licking its paw. To be continued.